Isaiah chapter 56, verse 9, to chapter 57, verse 15. The title, Paul, Leadership. Number one, its case. Number two, its curse. Number three, its cure. I received a telephone call this week inviting me to go back to the 150th anniversary of St. Cleopas Church in the Dingle. Whenever I go back to St. Cleopas, my mind is full of memories. As a boy, I went to St. Cleopas Primary School. I remember going into St. Cleopas Church when it had a big steeple and stained glass windows. And I can remember the headmaster, Mr. Parry, Mr. Emmanuel, Pop McCall, Miss Francis, Miss Roberts. What's more, I can remember lots of things that I learned there, including playing games. I used to like playing football, in case you didn't know that. But we used to play other games, not just cricket. We used to play tick, off-ground tick. Did you ever play that? Not only so, we would play hopscotch. Even lads would do it. And not only that, we would play British bulldog, where only the fittest survived. And there was another game. It was called Follow the Leader. Put up your hand if you've ever played Follow the Leader. It's easy. You appointed a leader, and the leader went off, and everyone followed. If he put his right hand up, you did. The last one was out. If he put both hands up, you did. The last one was out. If he sat down, you did. The last one was out. If you turned right and if he turned right and you turned left, you were out. Follow the leader. There was a different game called Follow the Leader. You put someone in the middle, do you remember this? And a big circle round. And someone would be the leader and do the action, and the person in the middle would have to try and find who the leader was. Followership, it could have been called. The Bible has a lot to say about followership, about leadership. Actually, in the New Testament, it's full of principles concerning Christian leadership. Of course, in the world in which we live, leadership has something to do with power or status or control or position or professional expertise or strategy. Actually, in the New Testament, it is to do with integrity, transparency, humility, responsibility, and genuine care. In Isaiah's day, there was a real problem with the spiritual leaders of the hour. In fact, in the ESV, this passage is called Irresponsible Leaders. Let's look at it. Poor leaders. Its case. Let's read together. All you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. Remember, Assyria the beast, Babylon the beast, would come to devour the beasts, those who abused authority in Israel. His watchmen are blind. They're all without knowledge. They're all silent dogs. They cannot bark. Dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say. Let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow we will be like this day, great beyond measure. What a graphic, vivid description of poor leadership. Look what it says. These leaders are irresponsible. They don't see. They can't see what's going on around them. They don't know. They have no real understanding of the crisis which the nation faced. They don't warn. They're like silent dogs. I went to visit Cossack this week. Knocked on her door, and for ages I heard this barking. Bah, woof, 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 woof. It was dark. The dog was warning. Kath, there's somebody at the door. So these watchmen, who were supposed to watch out and look after, they don't see. They don't know. They don't warn. What's more, they're lazy. They want to sleep and slumber. What's more, they're greedy. They have ravenous appetites, but not for godly things, not for caring for the people of God. And they are careless. Do you notice what it said? Shepherds with no understanding. A shepherd knows his sheep. A shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd visits his sheep. A shepherd binds up the wounded amongst the sheep. But they have no understanding of this concept of shepherding God's people. They're selfish. They get gain. They use the people of God for their own gain. Beware. Beware. If leaders you for your money or to buy their products. Not only so, they're pleasure seeking. Let's drink wine. Let's get drunk. You know, in the New Testament it says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. But no, these are pleasure seeking. Let's just drink. Don't care about who it stumbles. Not at all. And they're arrogant. We'll have an even better day tomorrow. You know, in this period, when Isaiah prophesied, you remember that he prophesied also concerning God's people being taken into captivity in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. And you know who was there? In Babylon, as the prophet of God. It was Ezekiel. Listen to what Ezekiel has to say concerning false leaders. In that day and hour, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. This is not a preacher. Thus says the Lord God. This is not an interpretation. This is not a personal point of view. Thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak, you've not strengthened. The sick, you've not healed. The injured, you've not bound up. The strayed, you've not brought back. The lost, you've not sought. And with force and harshness, you've ruled them. So, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. It became food for all wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. What an indictment. The living God says to his shepherds, to his leaders, you're selfish, you're greedy, you're materialistic, you are careless. You don't strengthen God's people. You don't visit them when they're sick. You don't bind up their wounds. You're lazy, you're harsh, and you're severe. And the sheep are scattered. It's a case. Number two, it's curse. Friends, come with me. We're going to Sefton Park. Are you with me? We're going to pick up a rock. Have you got it? We're going to the edge of the lake. Are you with me? Get your stone and now throw it as hard as you can into the water. Have you done it? Have you done it in your mind's eye? And watch what happens. Number one, the stone sinks. Number two, the ripples go on and on and on and on and on and on. There are always consequences to sin. And when there's good leadership and gracious leadership and caring leadership, there is blessing. When there is harsh leadership and careless leadership, there is ruin. No wonder we are told in the New Testament, let none of you be quick to be teachers or leaders. None of us. We have to appear before Almighty God. We live and breathe to an audience of one. We will answer. It is an awesome responsibility. It is not a hobby. It's not a position. It's not a profession. We're not professionals. We will answer to Almighty God. Look what happened in the nation. Those of you who know the story of Isaiah will know that after Hezekiah, the godly king, came Manasseh, the ungodly king, who turned his back. And look at the result of what was happening when godly leadership was replaced by ungodly leadership. Let's read chapter 57. The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters into his peace. They rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness. But you, draw near, sons of the sorcerers, offspring of the adulterer and the loose woman. Whom are you mocking? Against whom do you open your mouth wide and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of transgression? The offspring of deceit? You burn with lust among the oaks, under every green tree, who slaughter your children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rock, among the smooth stones of the valley. Is your portion? They are your lot, to whom you have poured out a drink offering. You have brought a grain offering. Shall I relent for these things? On a high and lofty mountain, you have set your bed. There you went up to offer sacrifice. Behind the door and the doorpost, you have set up your memorial. For deserting me, you have uncovered your bed. You've gone up to it. You have made it wide. And you have made a covenant for yourself with them. You have loved their bed. You've looked on nakedness. You journeyed to the king with oil and multiplied your perfumes. You've sent your envoys far off and sent down even to Sheol. You were wearied with the length of your way, but you did not say it's hopeless. You found new life in your strength. And so you were not faint. Whom did you dread and fear so that you lied and did not remember me and did not lay it to heart? Have I not held my peace even for a long time? And you do not fear me. I will declare your righteousness and your deeds, but they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. The wind will carry them off. A breath will take them away. Oh, we could spend the next few weeks on this, but just notice verse 1. The righteous perish as a result of poor leadership. Superstition flourishes. The occult spiritual adultery takes place amongst people. God is mocked. That's there. Can you see it in verse 4? Children are abused. Abortion takes place in the name of convenience. Illicit sex becomes the new god. Can you see that? Not just in public, by the way. God's people start sleeping around, but behind the door and the doorpost. Verse 8. You have set up your memorial. Idols of illicit sex invited into the home. You've uncovered your bed, gone and made it wide. You're looking on nakedness. Not only so, ambition and popularity reign. You've journeyed to the king with oil and multiplied your perfumes. You sent your envoys far off and sent down even to Sheol, the gods of ambition, the gods of success, the gods of popularity, the gods of prosperity. Not only so, but there's lies. They become the norm. Have I not? Whom did you dread and fear, verse 11, so that you lied? Half-truth, presented as whole truth, which is in fact untruth, becomes the order of the day. What a terrible thing. And there's no fear of God. Have I not held my peace even for a long time? And you do not fear me. Verse 11. No respect, no real reverence, no living in the conscious presence of the living God, in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And idolatry is the order of the day. You're collecting your idols, hoping that they'll deliver you, but they don't. And the result is there's no answer to prayer. You can cry out, but those idols won't answer you. And there's no deliverance. The breath will carry everything away. It's curse. There are always consequences to poor leadership. Every man and woman here in leadership, every man and woman here aspiring to leadership, every man and woman here involved in any leadership position, any man or woman here praying for leaders. Heed the high and holy responsibility of godly leadership. And the consequences, the dreadful, awful consequences of phony baloney, of saying one thing and living another way. Number 3. We have its cure. Thank God. Listen to what God says through his prophet. But he who takes refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstruction from my people's way. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. This is not the preacher speaking. This is not a biased interpretation of the text you're hearing. the high and holy one who inhabits eternity, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin, who charges angels with folly. The heavens are unclean in his sight, and he inhabits eternity. He's ageless and timeless and deathless and changeless, and is in the present, the I Am. He is with those who are contrite. He is with those who are lowly. He will revive the heart of the contrite. What's the cure? The cure is to heed God's word. Run for refuge in the living God. Run there. Change your way. Repent. That's what it says. What a wonderful phrase this is. Remove every obstruction. Take inventory. Be ruthless. Be real. Be sincere. And remember that the high and holy one who inhabits eternity is the one we serve. And then come with a broken and contrite and lowly heart to him. After all, that's what Jesus said. Turn in your Bible or follow on the screen the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 20, in verse 25 and 28, the sons of Zebedee, they're into pride, they're into position, they're into authority. They're into status. Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." There is no place for lording it, for bossing it, for exercising authority. It's a servant's heart. It's a Christ-like heart. That's what matters. Serving him and serving others. Oh, there are so many passages. Turn to Matthew 23. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in his day of spiritual leaders who'd lost the plot. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do.'" Did you ever learn the proverb, "Actions speak louder than words"? Did you ever learn the phrase, "We'd rather see a sermon than hear one"? For they preach, but they don't practice. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're in leadership, leadership is not about preaching sermons. It's not. It's a corollary. Leadership is about serving God and serving people. And practicing what you preach. Doing everything you can by the Spirit's aid, day by day, to walk in conscious awareness of the living God. They preach, but they don't practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They tell other people what to do and don't do it. They do all their deeds so everyone can say, oh, look how good he is. Nonsense. They wear their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi and by others. But you're not to be called rabbi. You're not to have titles. My name's Bill. Your name's John. Got it? Your name's Susan. Look what it says. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Listen to what the Apostle Peter said. He made a big mistake, didn't he? He blew it. Leaders are not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, go somewhere else. If you're looking for perfect leaders, go somewhere else. We all blow it, but I tell you what. We learn, don't we? Listen to what Peter said. I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, willingly. Not for shameful gain, eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Should we say that again? Not domineering, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Listen to this. Clothe yourselves, all of you, old and young leaders, and those aspiring to leaders, those in the congregation, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, and you can cast all your care upon him. So here we have it. The cure. Heed the word. As it's spoken. Heed the word as it's written. Heed the word as God by his Spirit anointed his prophet Isaiah. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers also. And then follow your leader. Who is the leader? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you, this is his church, not ours. He is the head, not us. What he says goes, not our will, not our vision, not our plan, not our strategy. His and his and his alone. Follow your leader. Humble. Servant-hearted. And remember, it is not about status. It is about service. Transparency, integrity, humility, servant-hearted care, open hands, open hearts, open lives, open homes, open tables. Follow Jesus. Follow him alone. Which is why you must always pray for leaders. This lady has now gone to heaven, and I miss her. I was hoping someone would take up the task. Every Sunday morning, without fail, she would come to me and say, Bill, praying for you. This is what I pray. Lord, hide him so far behind the cross that the devil can't get him. Pray for your leaders. Those who aspire to leadership, take it seriously. If you're in leadership and God speaks to you with conviction, either change or leave or get out. It is an awesome responsibility. It is not a game. It is literally life and death. The hymn writer said, "So let us learn how to serve and give our lives as an offering." Let's stand and sing.